The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, December the 12th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Confronted with a possible bipartisan deal on DACA, President Trump goes vulgar. Also in focus on our Friday rundown, another state looks to expand Medicaid coverage by a ballot initiative. A new report finds not enough teachers for Illinois, and Black Minnesotans claim their voices in honor of MLK Day. First, our top story, lawmakers from both parties may have thought they were striking a bipartisan deal on DACA until they got to the Oval Office Thursday. The Washington Post reports President Trump grew frustrated with the lawmakers when they discussed protecting immigrants from Haiti, El Salvador, and African countries as part of the deal. Trump is quoted as saying, "Why are we having all these people from blank hole countries come here?" The Post reports Trump then suggested the U.S. should instead bring more people from countries such as Norway. Proponents of a new statewide ballot initiative in Utah are in the signature collecting phase. Eric Gladys reports they hope to bring local control to the health care debate.
The Utah Decides healthcare proposal would expand coverage for individuals and families in Utah with incomes below 138% of the federal poverty level, which is under $34,000 a year for a family of four. Laura Polachek with AARP Utah says it would help the state's most vulnerable residents and working families, and would also help keep the doors open at rural hospitals.
If it gets onto the ballot in November of this year, they will be able to decide whether or not to expand Medicaid coverage to an additional 100,000 Utahns who currently don't have any access to affordable health care.
She notes the initiative would also bring more than $700 million Medicaid dollars back into the state that Utah now sends to Washington, D.C. by refusing Medicaid expansion. Opponents of expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act are concerned that Utah could be on the hook if federal Medicaid dollars dry up or if the program is cut.
The measure would increase Utah's sales tax on non-food items to raise the $91 million needed to trigger more federal Medicaid funding. And with the federal government now promoting fossil fuels, cities and towns in New Hampshire and across the nation are leading the way to boost renewable energy.
Last May, Hanover, New Hampshire became the first municipality in the country to commit by community vote to achieving 100% renewable energy. It's one of the communities profiled in a new case study of 10 cities and towns that have made that commitment. Allison Samuel with the Sierra Club says Hanover is on its way to getting all of its electricity from renewables by the year 2030.
The town is investing $50,000 every year into energy efficiency improvements. They're also looking at opportunities for more solar power in the region, potentially partnering with Dartmouth College on that.
Hanover plans to be fueling its heat and transportation with renewable power by 2050. Nationwide, about 50 municipalities are now committed to 100% renewable energy. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And Boise, Idaho has found a new destination for some plastics after China announced it will no longer accept certain recyclables. Eric Teganoff explains.
China has been a major market for Western U.S. cities' recycling material, and the announcement has put many in a tough spot. Starting this spring, Boise is partnering with Salt Lake City-based Renewlogy to turn certain hard-to-break-down plastics into diesel fuel. Colin Hickman with the City of Boise says the goal is to keep these plastics out of the landfill and adds that China's decision is a wake-up call for how recyclables are processed.
Another part that's also come from it has just been a realization and a recognition of us sending our materials across the globe. And how do we manage our resources more regionally, more locally? And so the Salt Lake City alternative really appealed to us as well because it's taking ownership of the materials that we use here in Boise.
The city has received a $50,000 grant from Dow Chemical to get the program up and running.
A teacher shortage continues to plague the state of Illinois. Veronica Carter reports a new survey by the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools finds nearly 80% of districts have fewer teachers than they need.
The group's president, Mark Jontry, says there's been a big drop in the number of qualified teachers applying over the past 5 years, and it's especially hard to find substitute teachers. Teachers and administrators get pulled from their prep work to cover for others who have called off, and often the substitute isn't qualified to teach the class.
We have areas where it's impossible for people to get a sub to come in and fill, and so that kid probably, in some instances, isn't going to get any instruction that day. They may end up getting shuttled into a study hall or something like that. So it's a lost day of opportunity for learning.
Statewide, the lack of teachers is felt most in bilingual education, foreign languages, school psychologists, and computer and business classes.
And finally, Laurie Stern tells us the day before the holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. could be the perfect time to get organized for the upcoming political season. That's according to nonprofit groups in the state like Isaiah and Faith in Minnesota.
Isaiah's Brian Fullman says the goal is to get people more involved in local and state elections. He says the new movement called Claiming Our Voices embraces both African Americans and African immigrants who are people of faith.
We are pushing a nonpartisan movement to encourage people to learn how to caucus, become delegates, and set the agenda in the governor's race. We don't care who ends up governor. What we care about is the agenda that they will be held accountable to.
Fullman says that Claiming Our Voices will ask candidates and the legislature to address issues like affordable housing, police-community relations, and discriminatory practices in schools. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.